ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, those who finish their prayers can come forward, inshallah ta'ala. Due to the interest of time, I do apologize because some people are still making salah. So okay, I try to keep our voice low until everyone's kind of done, inshallah ta'ala. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we are going to continue our series on the stories of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, with the hope and the niyyah, inshallah, that everyone should make a good intention here. Ya Rabbil Alameen, give us those things that we need to hear, inshallah, that can transform our lives. The lives of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, Jazakallah. The lives of the Prophet alayhi wasalam are meant and intended for us. So that way, inshallah, we can take them as guides, as role models, and to fix our life to be a life that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So our goal when we listen to these stories is, Ya Allah, these are the people that you love the most. Allah, make my life like their life, inshallah. So keeping this in mind, we want to continue, inshallah ta'ala, from the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, from his son, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. Not our Ishaq here, but a different Ishaq. Maybe one day you have a son called Yaqub too, maybe, alayhi salam, mashallah. So, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, the reason why we're going through him, because there's one extra prophet we could talk about, which is Shu'aib alayhi salam. But Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam, I'd like to leave a little bit later, for when we start to talk about Ismail alayhi salam and the Arab prophets, right? Because their prophets were closer to the Arabs. And when we get to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, it makes a lot more sense to discuss this story. It's a shorter story in the Quran. It's a beautiful story in the Quran. But having said that, it makes a lot more sense to go through this angle first and go through the stories of Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun alayhi salam, and go through their lineage first, inshallah. So keeping this in mind, this is one of the noblest of all lineages. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, he says that إِنَّ الْكَرِيمَ ابْنُ الْكَرِيمِ ابْنِ الْكَرِيمِ ابْنِ الْكَرِيمِ يُوسُفُ مِنْ يَعْقُوبِ مِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِسْحَاقِ ابْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the noblest person, son of the noblest person, son of the noblest person, son of the noblest person. And then this is, was asked, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by a sahabi, who is the best in terms of genealogy, in terms of the lineage. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim alayhi wasalam. This is something that people need to get out of their minds. We talked about in Jumu'ah today about the issue of racism, how big of a fitna it is that a person thinks they're superior because of their nasab and lineage. And trust me, if we're having this fitna in our time, the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the Jahili Arabs that were there, the ignorant Arabs that were there, they definitely had this situation, أَوَ شَدُّ شَرَّ, or even worse of a situation, because they considered themselves any lineage, any nasab. The reason why Abu Jahl, for example, did not accept Islam is mentioned by a riwayah that when they discussed Abu Jahl, don't you believe Muhammad to speak the truth? He said, Wallahi, that which he says is the truth. The problem is that we're from, you know, the Bani Umayyah, and he's from Banu Hashim, and we've always been fighting back and forth. And so the thing is that we are always competing with them to be generous. They were generous, we were generous. They were good, we were good. They were excellent, we were excellent. And now they're claiming, they said, finally, he said, when we caught up to them, now they claim they have a prophet from their family. How can we compete with that? So subhanAllah, racism and the feeling of superiority will kill us. It killed Iblis. You cannot be a better worshiper than Iblis. And it destroyed him. And similarly, a person needs to get that out of their minds and their hearts, that my father, my khandan, my family, my tradition. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to know noble people, Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. These are the most noble of the people. So Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam is mentioned by you know, different narrations about what Ishaq alayhi salam had. His life is very much, it's a shorter discussion because we're going to kind of jump into the main discussion, which is Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Ishaq alayhi salam, his they say that with Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is the one who went to go and construct the area of the Masjid al-Aqsa, that area that was, I told you that last time that we were here, during Adam alayhi salam, it was laid down, the foundations. The foundations were laid down during Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And then thereafter, the foundations kind of whittled away and the ground basically came back to normal. The one who revived that land and brought it back to what it was Ishaq alayhi salam. And once we get to Sulaiman alayhi salam, which is like the most amazing story, is how he really builds it to what we understand it to be. That beautiful location that you and I, may Allah bless us to go there, inshallah. May Allah grant salvation and afia for that place. It was very much renovated at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Ishaq alayhi salam, he builds that land, that area, and he marries basically one woman named Rebecca, right? Rebecca, that's what they say. And so when he marries her, he has two children from her. Okay, so the first boy that was born, Isu, right? In Arabic, is Al-Is, right? They say that the name Al-Is comes from there. They say Isu that was born, he was the older one, right? Because she gave birth to twins. So the first one that came out, the other one was grabbing his, you know, when he the second one was coming out, he was grabbing the ankle of the other one. So he was just like literally. So the first one's coming out, and the second one grabs the other ankle, and he's coming out in that way, right? And so he's grabbing the aqib, right? In Arabic, the aqib meaning the ankle, right? So he's grabbing that part. And so when he grabs that part, they say, "Oh, who's this wonderful boy?" And they see, mashallah, the second one is the boy that they name him Ya'qub because of the fact that he came after the first one and he's pulling out, tugging on the ankle of the other one, subhanAllah. So this boy, his first brother, the older brother, he doesn't receive nubuwa, right? He doesn't receive prophethood. But the second one becomes a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And you know, in Jewish tradition, this is something you have to understand. A lot of things about Jewish tradition kind of don't make a lot of sense. I mean, in the sense that, like, they have this idea of like religiosity and superiority because of their race. So Allah Ta'ala does things with them to try to make them understand it's not about race here. Number one, first and foremost, is Ishaq the first or second born? Second born, right? But in the Jews, who is the most, the one who has the most in terms of inheritance and the most superiority? The firstborn. But Allah Ta'ala makes all the lineage come from the second one for them to understand it's not about lineage. It's only by Allah's decision, His fadl, His grace, that people become superior. Secondly, Ya'qub alayhi salam is not the first, ittifaqan. He is what? The second one. Okay, so now Allah blesses the second one, He doesn't bless the first, to give them a reminder, an ishara. Now I'll give you the last one just to make it clear. Who's the youngest child of, or the last two youngest child of children of Ya'qub alayhi salam? Yusuf alayhi salam. Do you understand? Every single time Allah is teaching them that it's not about nasab and lineage. You have to understand something much deeper than that, right? So having said that, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salam, he mashallah, he lives an extraordinary, wonderful life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He gets like the kind of situation that happens to Yusuf alayhi salam happens to him where his brother tries to betray him and be very angry at him, etc. And so subhanAllah, he's put into a very dark position. As mentioned, that he sees in a dream that Allah Ta'ala is telling him, "Oh Ya'qub, I will honor you and I will bless you and I'll make a great nation come from you." And Ya'qub alayhi salam says, "If Allah Ta'ala lets me live to that situation, I'll go back and I will live in that area near the Masjid al-Aqsa, the area of Canaan, right? That beautiful area. And I'll make my family there, right?" So Allah Ta'ala brings him back. Ya'qub alayhi salam brings him back to there, right? And so then when he gets back there, mashallah, he has a khala, he has an aunt. And in that time, the first one was, let me see, Muhammad. Leia. The second one was, let me see, Muhammad. Give me one second, I'm sorry. I wrote it down because these names, there's so many of them. I'm about to tell you like 50 names, so you have to get ready. I'm gonna tell you the 12 sons, right? What are you gonna do, right? Well, you have to know them, at least understand them, right? Leah and Rachel, these are the two. He marries their sisters. In that time, it was permissible to marry sisters. So he marries both of them as sisters. Leah and Rachel, subhanAllah, they have such a friendly, like I guess like back and forth with each other because they want to be, mashallah, honored by Allah Ta'ala. And Ya'qub alayhi salam is a Nabi. So if they can have the most children or even be blessed with the children, right? So Leah has, mashallah, she has children and she keeps having children. Alhamdulillah, so many children which are associated with her. And so what happens is when Leah sees all this, right, Rachel feels a little bothered by it. And so she says, "You know what, I have a concubine, I have a servant, I'll give her to Ya'qub alayhi salam," which is a concubine, right? So having said that, he has relations with her and he also has children from her. So Leah feels like, man, subhanAllah, this is like the best co-wife situation ever, right? So Leah goes and says, no, that's not gonna work. So I have a servant, so I want him now, he can have children with this one now, subhanAllah." So mashallah, Ya'qub alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, it's a wonderful situation, mashallah. May Allah ta'ala one day give us something like this, mashallah. Subhanallah, right? Subhanallah. You all can say subhanAllah, okay? There's no wives here right now, mashallah. They can be angry at you later, okay? My one's definitely gonna be angry after this one, right? Subhanallah. The thing is that, mashallah, Leah goes and says, no, that's not gonna work. So then there are some children that come from the second one as well, and they have the names of the servants as well. So because they're honored people, right? Bilha and Zilpah, these two have children from Ya'qub alayhi salam. So the 12 children that come are coming from these four women. So the child in order is Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and then so these are born, mashallah. And now when the 10 are born, Rachel did not receive any children yet. The three are giving, mashallah, children to Ya'qub alayhi salam, and she's feeling a little overwhelmed. So then she makes an earnest dua to Allah. Says, Ya Rab, you've blessed them and given them, Ya Allah, am I going to be deprived of having a child? She makes such a strong, earnest dua before Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala blesses her. And so now, subhanAllah, the last two children that come from Yaqub alayhi salam, from her specifically, this mother named Rachel, she was the younger one. But mashallah, Allah Ta'ala blessed her with this, that the first child that comes out, they look at him with such a beautiful, shining, Mubarak face he is, mashallah. And so they look at his face, mashallah, and they name him Yusuf, right? And so in Hebrew and in Arabic, they have very interesting names. And this is where we're going to get to our story, inshallah. She gives birth to two children, Binyamin and Yusuf, right? Some of them say that the Binyamin was the younger one and Yusuf alayhi was the older one. Now, keeping this in mind, Yusuf in Hebrew means the one who has been, he has been given honor, right? Who's been given fame, right? Who has fame given to him by God, right? So Yusuf in Hebrew means the one who's been given fame and honor by God. But the word Yusuf in Arabic comes from Asaf, which is Asafan, right? This is for sadness and grief. His name actually has the root of sadness. So if you put these two things together, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give a person through their grief and difficulty and sadness, Allah will give you great honor, right? So when you go through difficulty and sadness, what will Allah give you? Great honor, inshallah ta'ala. And you're going to see this throughout the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. He's a man who goes through, trust me, what you and I are going through in life is an inkling, it is a dot compared to what Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam has to go through. So many things, mashallah, the whole thing we're going to discuss is going to come from the Quran. I really don't want to go to any biblical stories talking about Yusuf alayhi salam, because the Quran does a magnificent, extraordinary job. Many of this will be kind of tafsir to you all, inshallah, in hopes that you join our next Dars of Quran next Saturday, inshallah. My little intro class for that, inshallah ta'ala, if you guys would love to join. Because I really would love that our ummah learns Quran, because every solution, every answer is in the Quran. So having said that, Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala gives us a great reminder that through grief and sadness, some hardship that you go through, sometimes in the well, sometimes because of a woman, sometimes because of being thrown unjustly because you didn't commit the crime, but you ended up being the one who's called the criminal. Sometimes because of this, sometimes because you're forgotten. So many different things happen to us. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam has a hissa, has a portion of all these difficult things. Okay? So I want to remind everyone that when you go through difficulty and hardship in this life, it's not a bad thing. Perhaps Allah is preparing you for a great status before Him, inshallah ta'ala. So this story, mashallah, has been reported in the books of tafsir as some of the Quraysh people were told by the Yahud, by the Jews, because they're in Mecca and they're hearing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying all these amazing things of the Quran. So Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh are telling him that, they're trying to combat him and they can't find anything to ask him. So they ask the Jews, can we ask any questions? So they basically ask a couple of questions. Go ask this to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see if he's actual Nabi or not. Okay. So one of the questions that they asked Sayyidina Nabi alayhi salam is, tell us how the family they moved from the area of Canaan and Sham. Tell us how they moved from Canaan, the family of Ishaq alayhi salam, all the way to the area of Egypt. How did that happen? Okay. So from that one question that they asked, Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals the entire surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf is revealed because of that. And boho, it is an extraordinary surah. It's a remarkable surah because beginning to end, Allah Ta'ala gives us a full story. It's never happened like this in the entire Quran, but it's an important story for not for us, but for Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the big question. This is why I want you to remember. The big question is this: is that you and I are looking at mazlumin in the area of Palestine, for example. You're looking at these people. They are oppressed. Okay, they are oppressed and they are wronged, like the Muslims in Mecca were wronged and oppressed. I want everyone to remember this, inshallah. Very important lesson. The lesson is this: that when you and I are oppressed, and finally Allah will give victory on our hands. Because what happens is the mazlum, Allah always helps the mazlum. Sometime, someplace, they will be helped by Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, this happens. When you become the victor, when you become the one who's victorious and strong, when you have the power in your hand, what do you do now? This is the big thing that I worry about this question. Because may Allah Ta'ala forgive and protect us. But sometimes what happens is we are so hate, have such hatred towards the Jews. We end up, what happens if we became victors on them? Would we do the same thing to them that they did to us? And then therefore we would loot Masjid Al-Aqsa again, because Allah never helps the zalim. So keep this in mind. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is a reminder to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because one day he's going to come back to Mecca and he's going to conquer that whole thing. And one day they're going to come before him like the same way his brothers came before him. Same exact story. Allah revealed to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a reminder for all of us. One day, sister, you will become the mother-in-law. One day, sister, you will become the mother-in-law. Now you have two options before you. You can do the monster-in-law sabak that you learned, and you can do the same thing that you learned from your own mother-in-law that you did not feel happy about, or you make sabr and you cut the cycle and you do the right thing, like the Anbiya alayhi salam. What did we start with? We learn from them, we study from them. Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls this Surah Yusuf. I already see people knocking out. I get it. It's like 8:05. People are hungry, mashallah. Don't worry. I'm not making this very long. You guys are aware of the time. I'm more aware of the time. It's 8:05. Didn't need to look at any clock to tell you that. Okay, mashallah. Okay. So keep this in mind. Just focus with me, inshallah. Thoda sa inshallah. Zihn ke saath, inshallah. Okay. Sayyidina Yusuf is some story in the Quran is called Ahsan al Qasas, the best of all stories. Maulana, but I read Harry Potter. Maulana, but I read Harry Potter. I watch Game of Thrones, brother. You know, I watch this and that. AOT, brother. Come on, Jujutsu Kaisen. What up, man? Like people will say, I heard this story and this story and this story. I watch this Bollywood, this Hollywood, and this Tollywood, right? I watch all these different things. And I think these stories are better than Yusuf Alayhi's stories. Okay? So people often say these things, Astaghfirullah. We have to understand a couple of things when Allah says this is the best story. Okay? The best story, number one, first and foremost, that one of these things that no other story that we have in our time has. The first and foremost thing is what? Is it a fake story? It is an absolute true story. A true story, an actual tarikhi, real story. Not like Bollywood, oh, he saw her from a distance. Oh, and now he went back home and all he's dreaming about, all night he's thinking about her. How can I get married with her? Oh, okay, you know what? Let's go back and like, let's go fall in love. And then, oh, what happens? That all the parents don't like each other. And now they don't like each other. And the families are torn apart, right? Romeo, Juliet, right? And then what happens after this? Oh, he runs away with her. He has, you know, has a good life with her and everything. The parents hate them, you know, and hate them and hate them. Then finally she comes back and she gives like salam to his feet or something, the dad's feet or something like that. And the dad's like, oh my God, here's that lady that I hated you. And then they all love each other at the end. You think that's a real story? Come on, man. Come on. Our Desi story is real here. You do that, you're not coming back home. Okay? Like you're not coming onto the cover of your dad, let alone you're gonna come back, he's gonna love you again, subhanAllah. You know? Real stories don't have all this fake stuff, right? Real stories, mashallah, have Allah in them. And real stories have Allah in them. Because Allah is always there. And this is the beautiful part about Yusuf Aysen's story. You're gonna hear Allah talking in the middle, just telling you, this is what I'm doing right now. And this is what I'm doing right now. And it's beautiful when Allah talks and He tells you, this is what's happening in the middle. Okay? So Ahsan al-Qasas, first and foremost, is because of the fact that number one, it is not a fake story. It is a real story. Secondly, when we're looking at storytelling, and I'm telling you, I do storytelling for a living, if you're noticing, right? I do this stuff for a living, I tell stories. And I know what stories have. I know what motifs they have. I know what themes they have. I know what foreshadowing is. I know what you have to do. There are climaxes, there's suspense, there's open-ended questions. There's so many things in telling a story. And Yusuf alayhi salam's story has all of these elements in them. Master storytellers look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, say, this is an expert story being told. Allah Ta'ala does things that you cannot even imagine, right, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And what else do we find, subhanAllah? And I wanted to quote, because this is Alusi rahimahullah ta'ala. This is my introduction, don't worry. We're only going to do like one part, and inshallah, we'll finish it there. But this is mashallah Alusi rahimahullah talking about why Yusuf alayhi salam's story is called Ahsan al-Qasas. And I thought it was just absolutely gorgeous the way he explains it. Because he describes all the different things that you find. He says, Ishtimaluhu ala hasidin mahsud. The story has someone who's jealous and someone who has jealousy on them. Wa malikin wa mamluk. It has a master and it has a slave. Wa shahidin wa mashhud. It has witnesses and those things which are witnessed. Ashiqin wa ma'shuq. A lover and a beloved. Oh, Bollywood we have in the story, Yusuf alayhi salam too. Bollywood we have in the story, mashallah. Wa habsin wa itlaq. We have a person who's put in jail and a person who's freed from jail. Wa khisbin, and we have a fertile land. Wa jadbin, we have a drought that happens. Dhanbin wa afwin, forgiveness and sin. Firaqin wa wisalin, separation and connection. Saqamin wa siha, person getting sick and becoming healthy. Halin wa irtihalin, traveling and returning. Dhullin wa izzin, becoming low and becoming high. Wa qad afadat anu la dafi' li qada'illah. You learn from this, there's nothing that repels Allah's qada. Wa la mani'a min qadarihi. Wa anna subhana idha qada li insani min khayrin wa makruma. Falaw anna ahla al-alam ijtamu ala daf'i thalika lam yaqdiru. And we learn from the story that if the whole world comes together to stop Allah's plan, can anyone stop it? No one can stop the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Wa anna al-hasada, and hasad, the end of jealousy is what? Sababul khizlan, it is a means of destruction. Wa nuqsan, and becoming deficient. Wa anna sabra miftahul faraj, and having patience, having sabr, it is the key to finding solutions from Allah Ta'ala. Wa anna tadbir min al-aql, and you learn about intelligence and the benefit of planning and many other things, mashallah. And I tell you, subhanAllah, what else do you have in the story? Mashallah, you have a love drama in here, you have a slavery story in here, you have a jail story in here, you have a king story in here, you have so many different stories. How did Allah do this in only like 13 pages? That's what you ask yourself at the end. So having said that, how does the story start? A young boy comes and he looks very puzzled and worried. His face is not looking like the face of our normal children that when they play, they're having fun. The father notices from a distance and he sees the son and he's moving around and he doesn't look very happy. So then what does the son do? He comes to his father, okay? He comes to his father and his father kind of pushes him and says, "Son, I'm your father. Come and tell me what you have to say." Is qala li abihi, "Ya abati." Allah, Allah, you want tafsir? I'll give you tafsir. "Ya abati." In this one phrase, Allah that tells us about how a child is supposed to address their father. "Ya abati." Oh, mashallah. First and foremost, what do we learn? "Ya" is used for a distance. When you're like all the way over there, I say, hey, Solat, right? You're so far away, right? I call him from a distance, right? But you don't use "ya" if a person is right in front of you. You use "ya" when a person's so far, or use "ya" when a person's so high in status that you can never reach their status. So when he says, "Ya Abati," he's saying, "Oh, my father, whose status is so beyond my own." He says, "Oh, father, who has such izzah and majesty and royalty. My father, who has such izzah, I can't reach his status." This is how he talks to his father, like compared to us. "Dang you, dad. I hate you, dad. Why'd you do that?" You know, the people, you know, the kid, mashallah, he's 4-year-old, Yahya, mashallah, he comes to you, loves you. "I love you, Abuji. I love you, Abuji." You take away his phone. "Inna lillahi raji'un, qad qamatil qiyamah." Qiyamah started now, subhanAllah, as if I'm no longer his father anymore. Allahu Akbar. This is something, subhanAllah, I'm telling sisters, just if you're listening, like please have some karam and love for your husband, man. SubhanAllah. He goes through a lot. Like outside he's abused and inside he's abused. His children don't remember him. No one remembers to call him. Nothing, subhanAllah. Someone should love this man. You know, at one time, subhanAllah, you had such beautiful children that used to say, "Ya Abati, oh my father who's so above." "Ya Abati," but Abati is used for someone who's so close to your heart. "Ya Abati, oh my beloved, Mubarak, beautiful, wonderful, amazing father you are." This is a young boy having such trust in his father. He says, "Oh, father, even though I'm a young boy, I have something to tell you." Okay? Now I want you to remember this, okay? He goes and says such an amazing thing. So now you're probably listening ears in. What is he going to ask his dad about? Right? Is it about a nikah or talaq situation? Is it because, like, oh, I'm going to get to MCATs or my med school? Or is it because I need to get a job? Oh, dad, I need to borrow some money. You know, these types of things, right? Things you normally expect that we ask in a Desi family, right? Some things, right? What does he say? "Abuji, inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba." "Oh, father, I had a dream. I had a dream. And what did I see in the dream? I saw 11 stars, a sun and a moon," right? And then it says, "Ra'aytum." "And dad, I really, really saw them. Li sajidin." They're making sajda to me. Now I ask everyone, if your son came to you like this, oh-ho, my dad would have put the beats on me, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar Kabira, subhanAllah. If I came to my dad and said, "Dad, I saw this type of Spider-Man swinging type from tree to tree type of dream, you know, Tarzan type of dream, right? This monkey thing type of dream, and I saw stars and moons," subhanAllah, I get so angry. You can't even ask your dad anything at in the Desi house, right? You can't ask him anything, subhanAllah. But the qurb and connection that Yusuf has with his father is a loving father. So he trusts his dad with everything to the point that he even asked him the dream. This is what we need to learn here. A father needs to be so affectionate and tender and kind. It's hard for us. We have to learn this sabak. We have to be so nice to our kids that our kids love us so much that no matter what issue it is, they come to us. Even if it's a khab in a dream that makes absolutely no sense to anybody. Okay? This is the love and affection that we're learning from the story. Obviously, you know that his father can handle the dream, right? Does everyone understand? Because why? Who's Yaqub alayhi salam? He is a Nabi of Allah. He can clearly interpret dreams. But he comes to his father and he comes in a very interesting way. And inshallah, we'll finish with this one point. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam comes and says, "I saw 11 stars. I saw the sun and the moon. Ra'aytum li sajideen." I saw them making sajideen, making sajda is the jama'. It is the plural form that you use for humans. In Arabic, you wouldn't use this form. You only use it for living beings. When you say, for example, the plural Muslim is Muslimin. Muslimin. Plural is Muslimin, right? If it's an object, you would not say sajideen. You say sajida, right? You'd make it very short. The fact that he's using a plural, his father hears these words. And he hears these words because why? Because is it really a sun and a moon, a star, and things like that? What is the actual thing that's happening here? Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is giving his dream to his father saying the 11 stars, the sun and the moon, but Yusuf alayhi salam is giving the interpretation behind the stars and behind the sun and the moon. Because is it really 11 stars? It is actually 11 brothers. And is it the sun and the moon? No, it's actually the mother and the father. Ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Oh, father, I see them physically making sajda before me. And father, I don't understand the interpretation. What does this mean? That my parents and my brothers and everyone will make sajda before me. What does that mean? Subhanallah, 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 right? Now, Allahu Akbar, imagine this, okay? Imagine, mashallah, in 2023, one of your sons gets wahi, okay? Obviously, that'd be kufr. Don't take the story literally, okay? You see this one kid who comes and says, oh, father, I've been given such an amazing, or let's make it even simpler, right? Your son gets finally the acceptance letter. He gets into Harvard. Oh, subhanAllah, he got into Harvard. Allahu Akbar, right? He gets the acceptance letter to Harvard. What do you and I do first with the letter? We see the letter. I go on social media. I go to my Instagram. I take a picture of it. And where do I show? Kull al-alam. We show it to everybody. As far as it can go until I get the Mubarak from India. I want the Mubarak from India that my son is going to Harvard. Right? Now, what does Sayyidina Yaqub teach us? His son has just given him the bishara that these people will make sajda. And a Nabi does not make sajda before anyone except this person is going to be great. Yaqub himself knows the interpretation. And so, either way you take it, Yaqub knows his son's about to be something really big in life. So, Yaqub says, Ya Bunay, oh my beloved son, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. Don't tell this dream to your brothers. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, the exact opposite thing that we would do. Our first job is that we want hasad. We love hasad. We want to be Mr. Bollywood. We want to be Shah Rukh Khan. We want to be the guy who gets all this hasad on them, and then our life becomes miserable. Then someone gets a disease. Someone gets a sickness. Someone can't stop throwing up. I tell you, everyone comes to me every other week. They think I do like some magic pills or something. I shoot some magic beams from my eyes that I shoot and give them like this nice, little pill that they can eat. And subhanAllah, they become cured. I tell them, look, the best shifa I can give you is stop showing your baby off to everyone, please. Yeah, why is this a thing that we keep doing? Everyone shows everyone everything. The Prophet ﷺ, it's a hadith which is attributed. I might not be exactly to Rasul ﷺ, but it's a good reminder to us, okay? فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. That everyone who has a ni'mah will have someone who has hasad against them. So please be careful with yourselves. Yaqub alayhis-salam's first reminder to his son is, La taqsus ru'yaka. Don't tell anyone your dream, O son. Don't tell your brothers this dream. I know because he's a young, little, excited boy. If you saw you got into Harvard, what would you do? Literally tell everyone, subhanAllah. I can't tell you how many fitnas we got through by explaining anything in our life. Okay? It's better just to keep it silent. Does anyone really need to know? This is the thing. We get very excited about everyone else's eyes. Worry about who's watching you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes and says, he says, Fayakidu laka kayda, your brothers will plot something really bad against you. Inna shaytan il insani aduwwun mubin. It's not your brother's fault, oh Yusuf. He doesn't blame his children. He doesn't say, my children are bad kids, because that's what we would do. We would go and say that the older brother, the sister, these are bad kids. Yaqub says, be careful, oh my son. It's not your brother's fault. Don't hate your brothers. Inna shaytan, it's only shaytan. Don't hate anyone. It's not their fault. Shaitan is making waswasa behind everyone. We'll pause here, inshallah. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Allow us to become people that are like Yaqub as a father and to become a person who's very noble like Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah grant us love and affection in our parents and our homes, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah allow us, inshallah, we learn from the deep lessons of these Anbiya alayhi salam because they have so many lessons to teach us. I want to just mention really quick, inshallah, because we're all going to head out for food. Just a couple of things, inshallah. Number one, first and foremost, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Last year in our halaqas, we had approximately, I think, if I remember correctly, the number was 400 people or so. Allahu Akbar. This year, mashallah, we have about like 500 people, subhanAllah, come regularly every week, Friday halaqa. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, everyone say alhamdulillah. It's a ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala, Either they come for this or they come for the food. Whichever one you come for, I'm good with it. I don't mind. Feeding people is, mashallah, it's rewarding. It's for sadaqah, mashallah. And perhaps one good word can change our lives. May Allah transform our lives, ya Rabbal Alameen. Having said that, subhanAllah, it's such a surprise to us in the masjid as well. It's a lot of work, subhanAllah. Could you imagine how much we need to make sure that everyone, alhamdulillah, gets fed well and everything, right? How much do you get fed here? It's like a three-course meal, right? MashaAllah, you're sitting down for quite some time, mashallah. You get to eat everything, have some chai as well. MashaAllah, you get to hang out, alhamdulillah, all for mashallah, absolutely free. But you can imagine how many expenses are behind such a project. Could you imagine how much is behind such a thing? So subhanAllah, the funds are basically close to running out. And it's what is the funds I'm talking about? MashaAllah, we have like Wasim Bhai, Riyaz Bhai, Mubin Bhai that go around and just collect a little bit of money. Wasim Bhai, really, MashaAllah, may Allah reward him. He does a lot of effort for this. He collects, MashaAllah, maybe about like what, $40? Is that right? $40 from people just per month. And subhanAllah, it's able to sustain this whole halaqa process. MashaAllah, that everyone's listening, getting some khayr, some barakah from this, sitting in a majlis where Allah will forgive all our sins and change into good deeds. And MashaAllah, getting food as well, MashaAllah. It's my request for everyone. And I know it's not just these brothers. MashaAllah, there are a lot of brothers who are committed to this effort. And my thing is that, inshallah, please, inshallah, be the one who will be a sustainer of this program, inshallah. It's my request to you to be a sustainer of this program, inshallah. It only costs, like I just told you, about $40 a month. It's literally nothing. And subhanAllah, you get the ajr and all the reward of the halaqa, and you get all the reward of the food being made, mashallah ta'ala. Mubin Bhai works tirelessly. May Allah reward him and his team. Ya Rabbal Alameen. They do so much. So inshallah, please, the brother is going to be waiting at the outside over at the main entrance, at the lobby area. So please, inshallah ta'ala, just sign your name, say that I will inshallah try to contribute. They'll add you to a group, inshallah. They're not going to pester or bother you, but inshallah, just to make sure that we can sustain this program. May Allah reward everyone, inshallah. You know, the masjid looks like Ramadan, doesn't it? Every halaqah looks like Ramadan. We literally have the same amount of rows as Ramadan. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know? The second thing is our brother Mas'ud Rana, who is the brother of he's a cousin of Abid Bhai. His mother was very sick. He was so sick that subhanAllah he called me yesterday. He was completely worried, and so he was actually taking a direct flight to India to go see if his mother's okay. So mashallah, we made dua for her during Juma. I ask you again, Allah give her shifa, make dua, Allah give her shifa, kamil ajra, and return her home and bring her back safely, inshallah ta'ala, with afiyah, ya Rabbal Alameen. And our brother Wajid, as you I also mentioned before, his mother passed away as well. And subhanAllah, we've been trying to get in contact, but I think he also just flew straight to Pakistan to go see, you know, how his mother is doing, etc. I mean, she passed away, I'm saying, but to get ready for the arrangements and everything. So having said that, please make dua. Allah grant a Jannah Firdaws Ta'ala, Noor and a Qabr and Sabah for her family. And people have asked to make dua for the situation in Palestine. As you probably heard, some people might be aware, but there is a, right now they're doing a ground invasion into there. And the thing is that they said to do Qunut Nazila. We've been doing Qunut Nazila. I want to remind everyone, Alhamdulillah, in this masjid, we've been doing it after every salah. We make dua, the Qunut Nazila that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made, right? And so I want to remind everyone, inshallah ta'ala, that we're doing this, and Fajr is when we do it in the salah. Okay, so if you'd like to come, inshallah, and actually like really make a difference, the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it never misses. And so the thing is that, inshallah, please come for Fajr and join us. Of course, we'll make dua now. You know, right now, people, unfortunately, talk is now cheap, right? Now, what else can we do, right? Now's the time to make strong dua, fervent dua, sincere dua before Allah, that Allah grant nusra and victory to our Muslimin, ya Rabbal Alameen. So inshallah, please, everyone can make dua, inshallah. We can recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Sayyid Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt wa qina sharra ma qadayt fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk innahu la yadhillu man walayt tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم عن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك ويقتلون الأطفال والأولاد يا أرحم الراحمين ويقتلون النساء والولدان يا أرحم الراحمين ويقتلون الأمهات يا رب العالمين ويقتلون المستضعفين يا أرحم الراحمين الذين لا أهل لهم يا رب العالمين ولا بيت لهم يا رب العالمين ولا طعام لهم يا رب العالمين ولا شراب لهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهزمهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهزمهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهزمهم. اللهم اهزمهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم زلزل أقدامهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم زلزل أقدامهم وشتت شملهم وخالف بين كلمتهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. يا مجري السحاب ومنزل الكتاب يا هازم الأحزاب اهزمهم يا رب العالمين وشتت شملهم يا رب العالمين وشتت شملهم يا رب العالمين. وما النصر إلا من عندك يا رب العالمين. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا القوت المتين يا رحم الساكين يا الله رب العالمين يا الله وإنس يا الله. In the blessed area of Quds, Ya Allah, the blessed area of Aqsa, Ya Allah, the blessed area of Sham, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Muslimin, Ya Allah, are being slaughtered, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Muslimin, Ya Allah, are being killed, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, we ask you, Arhamar Rahimeen, that they shut off all the phones, they shut off all the technology, they shut off all the internet, Ya Allah, but the connection to you, Allah, is never broken, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, there's no inqita' for your connection, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, you send on your ghaibi help, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, send on your malaika, Ya Allah, send on your angels, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahim, protect them, Ya Rabbal Alameen, those who have no nasir, Ya Allah, no protector, Ya Allah, no wakil, Ya Allah, except for you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, Ya Allah. You are the best protector, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Grant your nusra, Ya Allah. Rabbal Alameen, Ya Allah, there are babies crying, Ya Allah. There are babies dying, Ya Allah. There are families and children, Ya Allah, being separated, Ya Allah. their families being broken, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. Blood is being shed, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, please help, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Rabbal Alameen, please don't stand for this, Ya Allah. Rabbal Izzah, Ya Allah, help the Mazlumeen, Ya Allah. Rabbal Alameen, they waited so long, Ya Allah. Rabbal Alameen, 75 years, Ya Allah. Rabbal Izzah, Ya Allah, please grant them Nusra, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. Rabbal Izzah, the whole world is silent, Ya Allah. Even us Muslims are silent, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the West, Ya Allah, all we can do is raise our hands and dua, Ya Allah. We wish you could be there, Ya Allah, to help and support our brothers, Ya Allah. Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, please grant them Nusra, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, grant them Afiyah, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Grant them protection, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Izzah, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, we ask Ya Allah, the same, Ya Allah, you help the Muslims in Ahzab, Ya Allah. Rabbul Izzah, Ya Allah, protect of Gaza, Ya Allah. The West Bank, Ya Allah, in the Masjid area of Quds, Ya Allah. Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Izzah, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, please, Ya Allah, protect all of human beings that are there, Ya Allah. They're insan, Ya Allah. They're Bani Adam, Ya Allah. Rabbul Izzah, you created them, Ya Allah. You protect them, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. If you can wait here, inshallah, or if you'd like to go and meet the go to the table outside in the lobby, inshallah, please wait a little bit while the food is being served. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.